Yeah, sure. I mean, if you're looking at the period where I was involved in Antipode, I mean, there have been very significant social changes here. And certainly, you know, one had the growth of the sort of peace movement of, I mean, of Antipode itself, whole kind of environmental movement. And, you know, one of the things such as I just mentioned about the majority of our members not being a political party, I mean, that itself speaks a lot for the change from where we would have been, where, you know, kind of campaigning on these issues would be the preserve of a particular political party. I mean, I think that the movement was an example of, and perhaps one of the most effective, if not the most effective, of the, if you like, single issue kind of movements that developed in this country from the sort of late 50s onwards. And obviously, when we were campaigning, you know, we had to reflect that in the sense that, I mean, I was giving you examples of how we tried to reach people. These were, you know, how did we try and do that? We tried to reach people who used, this is the wrong word, but music was an important avenue to reach a lot of young people. Very, very important. Can't be underestimated. I think we learnt ideas of kind of presentation so that the kind of material, the publicity we produced, you know, stickers, leaflets, flyers, all that kind of material was something that was not that, you know, it came out of this kind of period as well. But this is how, you know, we used to produce lots of we had t-shirts with Free Nelson Mandela, stickers, badges, etc. Those were things you didn't see. I mean, political parties didn't produce this kind of stuff. They weren't produced by anybody. It was a sort of single campaigning issue that began to really promote these as a way of getting messages across. Not exclusively us, but I think the movement played a very important role. I think also, you know, the kind of imaginative visual presentation of issues was something Ethel was particularly good at. But I mentioned, you know, this band that we had, I mean, symbolically standing side by side in Africa House, a list of all the detainees. We did it with crosses to remember the dead of Soweto on the anniversary of Soweto. We planted in the centre of London. You know, we had processions with wreaths. And in 76, after Soweto, we had a Land Rover and a coffin as a sort of symbol of both the victims of Soweto, but also the collaboration, because these people had been killed from Land Rovers. So the head of the demonstration was this Land Rover next to a coffin, so to make the linkage, so to use visual images to get over messages. And I think, you know, there was a lot of creative ability in the movement. We also had the advantage, which is not talked about too much, of some really talented sort of visual arts. Some of the posters that were done by a guy called David King, who, I mean, he's got awards and everything, so it was very, very powerful, based on a kind of photo montage sort of style, which and that kind of quality of graphic was very important for us to reach people. And some of, if you ever look at any of the clips of some of the big rallies we had, we always had these huge background banners in Trafalgar Square, so we transformed Trafalgar Square from just being this plinth into something with a huge, with a message, and we had some very beautiful banners produced. There's another very powerful banner, where it is now, I have no idea, which was produced as a kind of background after Soweto with that Hector Peterson thing, but it was a beautiful design. It was a Canadian or American guy did it. A lot of people, free of charge, gave their sort of talents in the artistic field. That was very, you know, very, very important. And it created this idea that there was a sort of linkage between sort of culture of resistance and culture of what we were doing, with the politics of it, and I think not enough is understood quite as to what worked and what didn't work and why it worked, how much was influenced by the fact that it was evident that within South Africa there was this developing culture of resistance. And so even when you had, you know, Guy and Shelley and the Island and some of those, you know, plays being performed, it began a process which then mushroomed later on in the 80s in terms of the sort of the resistance coming out of South Africa had this kind of cultural dimension which really kind of caught people's imagination, so that apartheid wasn't just a political thing. You know, it wasn't the preserve of politicians and wasn't the preserve of, you know, high up people. It was something that ordinary people, it could be part of their lives. It was something that they could do, something that they could participate in.